part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
It is the Wednesday edition of Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are, of course, powered by SID Media. Thank you so much for staying with us. Really appreciate you. Of course, we do this thing every single Monday to Thursday between 6 and 8 p.m. And we do it, of course, to make sure that we move ourselves closer to understanding how these things actually work, right? So really, really important. Monday, we do personal finance. Tuesday, we do technology. And Wednesday is a really, really important slot where we do, of course, entrepreneurship and we talk to business owners. And today is no different at all. We are talking to Wade Williams. And Wade Williams will be telling us a little bit about brand innovations design. He'll be telling us a little bit about his journey. For those of you who are aspiring entrepreneurs and maybe want to get into the same industry as he is in, but also just some of the ups and downs, if there were, in his entrepreneurial journey. And he's joining us this evening to talk to us about that. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Thanks for having me. Thanks very much.
Thank you for coming. Really appreciate you. How are you?
I'm well. It's been hectic.
Okay.
I actually came from a birthday celebrations in Guatemala. You know, we were meant to be, you know, twins. So
okay.
We were born in the same time around each other.
Okay.
And we had a good celebration over the weekend. So now we're back to work.
love it. You should have invited me just for the cake eating only. The rest of the other stuff, then.
You know.
Yeah,
I should have done that. Next year, I think you're first on the list.
Definitely. Well, I really, really appreciate
that. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you for making the time this evening. You know, you run a business. We know you've got very limited time. And so we really, really appreciate that. Brand innovations design, right? That's what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
But before we get into what you guys do, we want to know about you a little bit. And maybe that's an odd question. Maybe you get it every now and then. They're always like, oh, this question. But for our listeners, please tell us a little bit about who you are.
I'm Wade. I'm Wade Williams. I'm a son to two loving parents.
Yeah.
My mom and dad.
Yeah.
They are. I'm actually a PK as well.
Oh, okay.
My parents are a pastor's couple.
Okay.
And then I'm an older brother as well to a younger sister of mine. She's a little bit more popular than what I am.
Oh, okay. Know, look at that.
One of those influences. Yeah.
Okay.
So So a lot of times though, people will be like, "Oh, are you Whitney's brother?"
And I'm yes.
like, "Yeah." I have a business. I run something as well. But yeah, beyond that, I'm passionate about Christ.
Yeah. Oh, lovely, man.
I love God. Jesus is at the center of everything I try to do.
Yeah.
Especially being a young person, you know, we go through a lot of trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
We test the water. You falter, you disappoint, and
but at
the end of the day, I think I've learned to love God for myself, and I've experienced God in my young youth. I feel like I'm still very young.
Yeah.
I turned 26 now.
Nice.
And I'm realizing that I've learned to experience God for myself.
And
I think
it.
That's very important for a lot of young people.
Yeah.
Trying. We face a lot of challenges and we go through a lot of battles, but at the end of the day, how do you still live a purposeful life?
And
I've learned that I could only do that through God.
Yeah.
With an understanding that, you know, there's someone that is at the helm of who I am.
Yeah.
And my purpose is not, is not buried in, you know, my journey, but it's something that is beyond me.
Ooh.
So if I make a mistake, you know, if I do something right, it's never really like I don't overcredit my successes and I don't overcredit my mistakes.
Yes.
So I look at it all as a journey.
Lovely. Are you sure you're 26? Because you sound like there's experience there. Are you sure you're not 46 rather?
I've experienced a lot for 26 years old, I think. I don't know, maybe.
Oh, crazy. That's lovely, man. But that sounds really mature. I mean, big ups to you and credit to you as well. Yeah, I think you've just made us who are older, who don't think like that much, like we feel bad now. Like, oh, I didn't really think about it like that. But thank you so much.
It's a journey.
Yeah.
I think just now with my birthday, I realized there's a lot of things that I wanted to achieve by 25 that I didn't achieve. And if I look back, I'm like, okay, no, but it's a seed that you end up planting.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
So we have this idea you want to have all these things. You'd want to have achieved something, but is it really a success when you reach a particular milestone and you can't surpass it?
Mm.
No, is it really success?
Mm.
So for me, it's just merely just planted seeds. A mentor of mine once said, you know, take your accolades and put it in your back pocket.
Sure.
Same thing when I got my degree, my dad told me, congratulations, we paid for your fees. We're happy that we paid for your fees.
Yeah.
Your degree, we wanted you to have the certificate, but at the end of the day, you put that in your back pocket, you open your heart to people, you respect, you're humble, you remain passionate, you remain vested in God, and your doors will open.
Yeah.
So I don't really see success and I don't really see maturity as an age limit.
Yeah, thing, definitely. Yeah. It's definitely not. It's definitely not. What's it like being a PK? How was it like? Was there pressure, you know, or things were like, well, you're still a PK, but you're a child. I mean, I'm not just referring to your younger years.
Fortunately for me, my parents were always just open with us about church and God and realizing that, you know, you have to understand God for yourself. Yes, we were always active in church. At the age of 7, I was part of the music band. I was leading, as I grew up a little bit, I had to be part of a whole lot of other aspects of
yes
church. But my parents' ministry at the end of the day, I think I've been able to include myself in it, not necessarily as a PK, but someone who wants to serve. I think the pressure does come when people look at you externally and they're like, hey, well, how are you doing that?
How are you making,
that's a mistake or that's a, you know, that's something wrong. I think that's where the pressure comes in a little bit. But at the end of the day, you just have to live for you and God and your family. You know?
Fantastic. Love it. Love it. Okay. Let's talk about brand innovation design. What do you guys do?
So brand innovation design is a business and a network consultancy.
Okay.
People always think, you know, we mainly focus on brand, we're putting up banners and stuff and printing digital things. But the ideation from the word brand for us was, when you stand, and as I'm speaking to you, Tabelo, you are a radio presenter.
Yes.
That is your brand.
Yes, true.
But it's your business.
True.
You know? And so we went and took it a little bit further with brand innovation design, shortened as brand ID.
So what is
your brand identity? What is your business identity?
Mm.
And that's how consultancy stems. And so our three core business, brand, and network. If I could just run through it quickly. On the business front, we focus on growth strategy, business analysis reports, feasibility studies. So everything that really solidifies you as a business, you know. Then on the brand side, it's what impact are you creating? How sustainable is your business brand and identity? And then on the network front, it's basically taking the business pillar, the brand pillar, and placing in a particular network. So we've two launched network structures, which is the business branch and the coffee culture. So they feed in all our clients. We feed in people who to maybe get exposed to our consultations. And we have free online master classes on the coffee culture session, which is hosted every Tuesday. And we've got an international platform. Our premise is around building African businesses, SMMEs in particular.
Yes.
We've got participants of about 200 folk, all young and old entrepreneurs. And then we've got a really mentorship base
where
those speakers that come and engage entrepreneurs on Tuesdays. So we started about six African countries. The prayer is that we continue to grow. But yeah, it's a step-by-step process.
Ooh, fantastic. And it sounds like a business that's not really usual, because if I think about your conventional businesses versus what you guys do, it almost sounds like it's a step ahead from your conventional business. How did you get into something like this?
To be honest with you, I think I just woke up one morning.
Yeah.
And one friend said to me, bro, you know so many people.
Yeah.
Why don't you start a business forum? And I was like, there's so many business forums. It's just so saturated. And it's like, okay, I guess. And I think I sat down for a week because it triggered me when he said, what, you have a very good network.
Yeah.
And I always used to say your net is your net worth. And as I hadn't really fed of it as I should.
Yes.
And the business person that I am, by the way, I used to sell textbooks at university.
Yes.
For my 21st birthday, my parents bought me a really nice car.
Yeah.
And I used to sell textbooks out of that car. So people used to bully me and say, are you selling textbooks for your car?
Yeah.
but if they really looked at it, they'd see, oh, no, like, this gent is taking the money that he's getting as pocket money, buying textbooks for students, secondhand textbooks, and I would sell it at a profit.
Yeah.
And it was a situation where we had public law as a module.
Yeah.
And the lecturer went back to an old textbook, public law textbook.
Yes.
And so I tried to get my hands on all those textbooks.
I think
if my parents knew it, that I actually used money that was very important for my living, they would be very upset. But I took that money, I bought all the textbooks that I could, and I sold it, and I made. I paid my electricity bill. I made profit. So the business mind has always been there.
Yeah.
And I looked at the network and I thought, okay, if I do create a network platform, how do I ensure that this particular network is feasible? And how do I ensure that it's beneficial to young people? Because I've always been passionate, about the development of young people and the inclusion of young people in the economic restructuring of our country. So I studied international politics, public administration.
Yeah.
And economics, so I've included that type of thinking into my business where it concerns young people and the transformation of our economy, local government, and how that should actually be feeding into the change of our economy.
Sure.
Yes, we look at national government and we say, you guys have to do these things, but it's a filtered-down process.
Mm.
So when you look at that filtered-down process at local government, that is where young people should actually be benefiting the most. That is where unemployment really changes.
Yeah.
That is where people get contracts.
Hmm.
But then you look at it and you investigate those type of businesses, they fall short because they get one contract.
Mm.
Once that one contract is done, their business is flat on the ground.
Yes, that's true.
You know, so I thought, how do you take a business from that particular level, right, and increase its value, place it into a network that is sustainable, feasible, and profitable, and everyone benefits from it.
Mm,
so that's where the network consulting comes from.
Mm,
so I've never heard of network consulting in the country. I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's strategists. I'm sure there's consultants.
Mm.
But we structured it in such a way where you come with your business proposition, we look at it, we analyze it, we do all the consulting needs, and we access you into a network that is feasible. And possibly, you know, you raise funds. And we currently built a project where we're trying to raise 10 million just to be able to invest into SMMEs.
Ah, that's lovely. Yeah. I think there's quite three things that you've mentioned that I think you and I kind of aligned a little bit on. One is economics. So I did economics. So love it for you and me. So that's the one
it.
Bit.
I didn't love it in the moment. I would not advise anyone to do economics.
Why would you say that?
No, honestly, I think my lecturer, Dr. Sixter, she'll tell you, Shwade, love him.
Yeah.
But he didn't love my subject.
So yeah, that's interesting. And yeah. I think a lot of people who encounter economics, and I'm speaking as one, right? A lot of people who encounter economics always struggle with, I think, frameworks, concepts, theories, and all those sort of stuff. And I think once you can pen down those things, the next layer is just how do you structure your argument, right, on what should be done 100%. From a policy point of view. That's why they say you can take 10 economists and put them here, you'll get 10 different answers, because the framework is the same, but the answers that you get on how to implement the framework is a little bit different, and I think that's why I loved it, because it adds that layer of complexity, which I think is what we need in life. 100%. But I get what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. so love it for
but
you.
But it's vital. It's very, very,
very critical.
Can't shy away from it. I think
very
everyone
critical.
Encounters an element of economics in their day.
Very
they
critical.
Make an economic decision every
yep.
day.
Yep.
So
yep.
I think it is vital. Yeah.
No, it is. It definitely is. So love that for you and me as well, because I think I'm speaking to someone who understands my kind of language and frustrations and all those sort of stuff. Because I sit here in this radio station as the odd one, you know, with finance and economics and all these big things. Why would you go that direction? I'm like, but I think it found me in a way. So that's what gets me excited. Exactly. And the coffee culture in the SMME space is one that I'm also quite very, very, you know, involved and also quite very passionate about.
Yeah.
So love that for you.
So
Brand Innovations Design, how old is the business now?
So we're 2 years old.
2 years old, okay.
I 2 years old. I had been working in banking at Investec.
Nice.
Zilberg. And I looked at the space. I loved the organization. I loved the bank. I think I was very privileged to enter that space and to see how the ship is run.
Yeah.
And I think I got some very key fundamentals on how to run a sustainable business.
Yeah.
I think Investec is a sustainable business.
It is.
I think the way they run it, the culture taught me a lot. I think I grew a lot in that space as well. But I got the offer before I even completed my, I think it was writing my final.
Sure.
Literally, it was my last exam. I got the offer.
Sure.
And I accepted it.
Sure.
But banking was never the space that I wanted to be in.
Yeah.
So I think the moment I told my parents, you know, invested with me, they were like, go for it.
Yeah.
And I went for it, and I think I needed that 2 years of, you know, corporate life.
Yeah.
I needed the working structure. I needed the order. Mm. I needed the clients, you know, the engagement. I needed the book. I needed that type of pressure
Definitely.
In my life to really build a structured routine for
Definitely.
Myself and how I would build my business going forward.
Definitely.
So a lot of my thinking, honestly, I can own it to my previous employer and my team, you know. So there's a lot of positives that I'd gotten out of my corporate life. And then I shifted into the consulting space. I had gotten some clients when I was working at the bank. And it also just became a little bit strenuous, and I'm not someone who likes to second foot anything. So I made the decision. I had to look at options. I had to weigh my options. And I prayed a lot about it. I think just one afternoon, I just started typing out my resignation letter. I think I left it for a month. I left it just in my draft for a month. And I think it was June, I sent it to my to my superior. And said, you know, this is the decision I've made. And after all, Investec is an entrepreneurial bank. A lot of the clients are entrepreneurs. So I learned a lot, you know, even with clients learning, understanding their experiences, I realized that a decision like that needed to be made, you know, for me. I really believe that I am an entrepreneur. I had to risk it all.
Love it.
And so I risked it all. I told my parents, you know, when the decision was made, and Here we are, you know.
Here we are.
A lot of challenges later.
Yeah. good challenges.
Yeah, a lot of challenges later. Here we are.
Yeah, definitely. I think that comes with the journey. I think whether, you know, entrepreneur or you're in corporate, there's always those challenges. So although maybe in varying degrees, because I do think that running a business on its own is quite hectic. And comes with its own challenges and all those sort of stuff. But it's about, if you're entrepreneurial in nature, you know, it's one of those things that you have to deal with. What would you say makes Brand Innovations Design different? I mean, you alluded to the fact that there's others out there, but what would you say makes yours different?
I think it's our masterclass structure.
Okay.
Our interest to really teach and educate people.
Yeah.
The idea is to, you know, educate previously disadvantaged folk around investments, educate what we would classify as in businesses, the triple BE folk, people like myself, young black entrepreneurs, the power of investment into other businesses. Teaching people how to run sustainable businesses, teaching people the correct terminology. In July, we hosted a live masterclass session. And I said something, and I think, you know, a lot of people agreed with me, but, you know, we always want to work with the government. But I said something very controversial where I said, tenders and triple BE will not fix our economy.
Definitely.
You know,
I agree.
It will not fix the state of our lives.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurship will.
Yeah.
But what we've confused entrepreneurship with is getting tenders. It's getting, there's thin lines between being, and that's where the term entrepreneur comes in. I don't like it. I like the word. It's not sustainable. I don't like the approach. It's not sustainable. Would I like it? Yes. Would I be constructive about it? Yes. Are there a lot of people who would want one? Yes. Would they be constructive about it? Maybe. But the idea is, when you educate someone on how to build a business, a legacy business, when a contract comes, that contract doesn't just become the sole income stream.
I've
engaged with a lot of folk.
Yeah.
I've engaged with a lot of where they've said, you know what, we need your services for our suppliers because we've realized that we are their only client.
Yes.
You know, so when we have to terminate the contract, or when the contract comes to an end, it becomes a problem.
Yep, back to square one.
You know, so how do you build a society on something like, how do you build an economy on something like that? So the idea is to really educate people around the sustainability of business. That's why our masters are free.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Master classes are free. And we bring in speakers all over the African continent.
Yeah.
Share their expertise, sharing their knowledge for free. These are people who are learned, people who, you know, are really investing back into saying, let's fix what is broken.
Yeah.
You know, let's be proactive about something. So I think that approach is a little bit different. But I guess there's nothing really new under the sun. I've seen my business in quite a few spaces. I think it's also just, you have myself, you know, and you have consultants, and we are a formidable team. We are growing stronger.
Nice.
And we are passionate about the future.
Yeah.
And we are passionate about people. And we're all young.
Yeah.
We're all under the age of 30.
Oh, nice.
And I think I'm the least qualified in my team. So these are young men and women with master's degrees.
Sure.
And they want to change things. They've also left the corporate space.
Yeah.
And the idea is really to say, let's use this as a vehicle for change.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at that. Yeah. You're just being modest there. I'm the least. Look at you. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Now, 2 years into it, what's it like, particularly having to, you know, get customers and all those sort of stuff? Or maybe what was the first customer experience like, you know, that first client?
Yeah. My first client was an exciting project. I think it wasn't easy. It was a big project for me to jump in on immediately.
Yeah.
But the nice thing is that I had real support from my client, a very positive space. Didn't really make space, but there's room, you know, for mistakes. But me being me, my attempt is never to make a mistake.
Yeah.
Especially concerning someone's business.
Yeah.
That's their bread and their butter.
Yeah.
And it's their future, something that they're passionate about.
Mm.
But I think with my first client, I had a very good experience. Mm. I think I've had a good experience.
Yeah.
With, most of my clients.
Yeah.
Well, all of them, if I can say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. I think I just had a lot of pressure on myself to have everything perfect.
Yeah, yeah,
And because this lady's been in the industry for quite some time, I think she picked that up and she said, you know what, I'm not saying, you know, be reckless, but be free. When you're free with my work, I feel like you'll excel a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think from there, my mindset changed. I realized that creativity is instrumental in building a successful project, managing project well, doing a good report. You have to be creative about your approach. And in a feasibility study that could seem so mundane, you can be creative, you can be innovative about how you approach these. And, and that's why we use design thinking.
Yeah.
In our business, so we don't have set templates.
Sure.
You know, when we engage with clients,
yeah.
We sit, we have our initial consultation.
Yeah.
We analyze a couple of things. We ask you a couple of questions.
Yeah.
We do an hour session. By the end of that hour, you know, send you a bit of a draft of what we've been able to figure out, and from there we build.
Mm.
So we use design thinking, very creative, and that's how our consultancy. Also took shape. You know, we were very creative about how we're building this space and this organization.
That's lovely. And creativity there, do you have like a box where you go into and start thinking about generating different ideas, or prayer, or how do you generate new ideas?
I'm a writer, so
oh, nice.
I have a lot of diary books. I have a lot of diaries. You'll find maybe one note is in the one diary, one note is in the other diary, but it's for the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's just, I just have to jot down my thoughts.
Okay.
And usually it takes a bit of a strat meeting.
Yeah.
My team always tells me, you know, you're a little bit delayed when it comes to certain things.
Yeah.
So please, can you do it on a spread that we can access and whatever, you know. But I'm on the spot, so I always have a notebook, a pen, and I just start down my ideas.
Oh, nice.
I send it through. But I think when you have a team that is structured, you know, well structured, but there's an element of creativity, each person knows what they have to bring to the table.
Yeah.
So when you have that unity, yet variety, yet different fields of expertise, and it comes together, you sit down and, you know, you come up with something, you're like, wow, how do all these different bullet points come to something like this?
That's beautiful.
And that's how we formed the business. So we use the same way we formed our business to work on other clients' businesses.
Ah, fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, you know, 2 years in, there's a difference between what you had expected in the business and what actually happens when you're now running the business. As someone who's an economist yourself, I'm sure, you know, you spreadsheets and understanding and analysis. These are things that are important before you start a business. They've got their own place. But I'm sure when you're now running the business, you're like, okay, this is not what I expected. What do you say is the one difference or challenge so far?
I think it's been cash flow. I think you can start off and you can have your projections in place and you can have your clients. And I think cost of living then comes in and you realize you need a bit of a team.
Yeah.
And then you realize you need to start a new project. And then you realize new things. And then you realize you need another person. And you realize a whole lot of things.
Yeah.
I think realization has been my kick into reality.
Yeah.
To say that, yes, you have a business plan, you have a strategy in place, but you need to be flexible with that as well. And I think it's challenging. I don't think business is easy. I mean, besides my parents being a pastor's couple, they have been in business for years, ever since I can remember. They've been in the business space. My grandmother, in her own setting, was in business, and I think from there actually, because of that history, I actually recently have been digging a lot into township economy, but that's a chat for another day. But I'm investigating that, and I think it's something that I'd like to dig into a bit more. And there's a lot of structures in play to really assist people who fall into that particular category. But yeah, basically a lot of my challenges have been cash flow. It's been really being able to fund our projects, being able to develop concepts, a lot of things with a lot of innovative structures that we've been able to put into play needs a lot of funding. The work that we want to do for SMMEs requires funding. I remember having a conversation with a mentor of mine, and I think he said it with the most respect. He was like, wait, so when are you going to make money if your approach is to deal with SMEs only? And I said to him, I said to him, Malume, with all due respect, I don't care when I make money, but I do know that if I can build 10 successful SMMEs from the ground up, I think a lot of people would want to invest there.
Definitely, definitely. The money's going to follow you after that.
That's what I said to him. And I think at the end of the conversation, he said to me, "Oh, by the way, Wade, what you're doing is called impact investing." So I think it was just play around with me. And at the end, it was like, "You're doing impact investing." And impact investing is where you take something doesn't really have much value right now, but the concept can be developed. You know. So with that being said, I need to come with the finances. I need to be the one to inject funds. I need to be able to expose someone to a particular network. So yeah, it's been a lot of effort on my side to really ensure that I have access to spaces, I have access to individuals. So that's been a couple of challenges that I've needed to overcome in our business. But I think it's also unique to my structure. You know, it's unique to how we've done it. There's a lot of businesses that, you know, you don't really need the immediate cash injection. You know, you can maybe just get a software and build it up from there, and it's a little bit easier. So I guess each and every business has their own challenge. Each founder has its own challenge. From my side, even just funding for myself, getting funds, a lot of my business I've self-funded with the hopes of, you know, okay, someone will see the work we're doing and reinvest. And I mean, it's only been like now past few like a year now that I can really say that, you know, people are starting to look and say, okay, we understand what it is you're doing. And we want to get involved in it. So I've had the privilege of pitching in rooms that I've never had the opportunity, or I never even thought of pitching to. You know, it was always just, I'm going to have to do it, I'm going to have to get the funding. But then as I was moving along, I realized I can't fund this business myself. I need to start pitching. And by the grace of God, I was able to, you know, pitch a couple of things. When I have with my last project, I injected my own funds. And I thought, you know what, God, I don't know if this thing will be a success. And thankfully enough, it was sold out, so I made my return there. And fortunately enough, we also got investor for the project. I got my funds back. But end of the day, you have to risk it all.
Really, that's the game. Definitely, that's the game. All right. We're running out of time, but I want to turn now to you as an entrepreneur, right? To say what drives you?
Sure. That's a hectic one. I've been asked this question before, but I don't know. I think I'd like to set my passion. To be instrumental in our country, on the continent. I said to someone last week, it's not necessarily a want for power, but it's a want for influence. And there's a difference between power and influence. Influence is a nature that you just carry on your own. Power to me seems like a, you know, a power struggle, like it's something that you kind of demand or whatever. But influence is a little bit more graceful.
You know,
influence is a little bit more loving, more kind, more more caring.
Yeah.
So I wanna be influential in on the African continent,
sure,
where people can say, okay, you know what, we see God in this young man.
We
see a sense of passion in this young man.
Yeah.
How can we help him achieve that? And even at that level of success, I still want to be able to learn. You know, I sit down with my father and my mother, and I like they learn from me. You know, and I sit down with some of my other elders, and they learn from me. I sit down with my mentor, who is my dad's mentor, is 70. I think he's 79. He's turning 8 years old. He's a former dad at Sanlam.
Yeah.
Rickus, and him and I sit occasionally on a call, and sometimes I speak my mind, he speaks his mind, they tell me, wait, you're gonna shortfall if this is the mindset you continue with, and so we have collective points, but at the end of the day it's about really being transformative, driving economic inclusion for young people in Africa. That's that's my driving force.
That's lovely. And how has, you know, running a business, being an entrepreneur, I'm sure you have to put out long hours at times, writing proposals, preparing at times and all that. How has that affected, I suppose, your life, but also life with family?
I think it's been something that I needed to prioritize. I prioritize my time, and I think the working structure allowed me to do that, to learn that reality. So, I think at the start, I was very unbalanced. So I was focused on the business 24/7, and I fell short on friends. My dad would be like, "Hey, bud, like, what's happening? Where's your focus?"
Yes, yes.
You know, you think you're focused, you're pushing your business, but actually, you know, you're just narrow-minded at the end of the day if you're just focusing on your business.
Yeah.
What happens to your spirituality? What happens to your relationships? Those are all important, but I've needed to work on that.
Yes.
And I think being able to work out a really good structure, quite a few of my my team members or my friends, some of my colleagues have become my friends, and so we work together. My clients are, you know, my clients, but they've also become my friends.
Yes.
So when we do engage around work, it's work and a little bit of easy conversation growth. I'd call it growth conversation.
Yeah.
And our theme for the year with our masterclasses has been growth strategy. And our first topic around our growth strategy was really around how do you build yourself as an individual before you build your business. So those are the key fundamentals that you have to take account of, is how do I feed myself before I project anything out? Your business is not you. And that was a mistake I made. I always used to say my business is me and I am my business. And we were on a safari ride on Sunday morning, and I said to my one friend, he's in the media space, and he helps me out a lot, and I said to him, I'm realizing that the business is no longer me.
That's cool.
It's no longer a one-man show. But it took Sunday morning for me to just, you know, it was just a moment of realizing, flip, man, this is no longer me. They can kick me out whenever they want. They feel like I'm not working hard enough.
Look at that. That's really amazing. Where do you see the business now 5-10 years from now?
I'm pushing for the 5-year mark.
Okay.
Right now.
Okay.
I think in 2 years I'm still in infancy. That's why I say I've needed to adapt my mindset to say, yes, we've achieved quite a bit of success in this short period of time. But I don't make a lot of it. Like, I don't put it on the wall. I don't put those accolades on the wall. I definitely put it in my back pocket, finish one project, on to the next. So I take it one step at a time, and I take it the same way I've needed to learn how to live my life.
Yeah.
I always live my personal life thinking of the bigger picture, thinking of this grand life that I want. And I realized you can fall short. You know, you won't achieve the vision if you don't understand the implementation process. And I'm a strategist by heart as well. So what are you implementing? What are the strategies that you implement that allows you? And the reality is that it allows you. The way you live your day, every life allows you the opportunity to reboot. When you plant your, when you plant a seed into the ground, the action of planting allows you the ability to envision a tree. Nurturing the soil, feeding the ground with water, feeding it nutrition, that to bear fruit. So at the end of the day, your actions and how you achieve and whatever you do, it allows your inevitable success. But it's a mindset. So you need to transform your mind. My mom has a quote that says you have to edit your mind to motivate itself. So, you know, what do you feed yourself? What are you looking? What are you watching? What do you take in that, that can, in a moment where an entrepreneurship is not. So when you, there's been days where I have to call mom and be like, ish, I'm not okay. There's decisions you have to make. And it's like, how can I make this decision? You know? Do I make it out on my own? Out of my own strength. Where, you know, how do I decide on something like this? How do you decide if a client is good for you or not good for you? You know? Someone can bring the money, but is it a good client? Is it someone that's going to build you? So at this point, at 2 years old, those are the things I'm dealing with. So those are it's behaviors, it's learned behaviors, it's a learned culture that we're building in our business. We sit, we have a consultation, and when we hear what the business sounds like, unfortunately, you know, we can't proceed any further with you as a client. And that means we're turning away money.
I mean,
know, not literally. Every client is your client, so it's difficult to handle that. So that's been, just the journey towards the 5 years. So I wouldn't, I don't want to give you 10 years. 10 years, I can say we'd like to have this massive consultancy, having over 100 interns, having a strong executive board, having investors, partners, and, you know, the works. That's ideally what we'd want. But what are the fundamentals to getting there? That's our five-year plan. We're working on the fundamentals. How do we really secure partners? That's us in the next 5 years. Hopefully, you know, we'll have a solid fund, you know, and businesses at any scale can come. People at ideation phase can come and consult with us. And then we can afford to take on those businesses, invest into it, get investors on board, and then make our funds there. But for now, it's, you know, taking clients that have existing and running businesses that just need a little bit of improvement here and there and a little bit of innovation, introducing new strategies to them. So that's us.
Fantastic.
I think that's my five-year plan. It's just solidifying it, reaching that five-year mark. Is a dream for me.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
As we ended off then in 30 seconds or so, what would be your last words to other young people who want to get into business? And tied to that then is, how can people find your services or follow you?
Because I'm a PK, as you guys all know. I believe that everyone has a gift. Everyone has a purpose. Everyone has a calling in their life. So my favorite scripture is Proverbs 18 verse 16. And it says your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. So there's a purpose in each and every one of us, everyone on this planet, whether you feel, you know, you are orphaned, whether you feel, you know, you might not have come from the best financial background, or your parents are divorced and you feel like there's an element of you that isn't worth it. I would like to encourage each and everyone to go and investigate what their purpose is in life. What is your gift? And that gift will bear fruit for you, you know? And it takes various trials and tribulations for that gift to be exposed, for that gift to be unraveled, for you to realize, flip, man, I'm actually passionate about business. I know quite a few people who at university who actually inspired me to go and start my business, my textbook business, where it seemed like, you know, you're classified as a rich kid and now you're selling textbooks as well.
Mm.
You know, it was someone who had a disadvantaged experience or upbringing in life that actually inspired me to say, let me take what I have and grow it, you know, and take your situation. I'm not saying deep into it, because sometimes it can be a painful experience, and, you know, sometimes we can dig into holes that we shouldn't need to. But look at life as a tool.
Yeah.
Look at your challenges as a tool to grow forward.
Yeah.
So look at your gift, take it, work on it, and it shall bear fruit.
Definitely. Your social media or website, where can people follow you?
Our website is www.brandinnovationdesign.co.za. You can email us, even if you want to just join our master classes on a Tuesday. If you can go onto our Instagram page, or you can email us at info@brandinnovationdesign.com. But all our information is online. Instagram is usually an easy one. LinkedIn, you can even just check my profile, which is Wade Williams. You can just check it out there.
Thank you so much, Wade. Really love it. I really enjoyed this conversation. I do think there's quite a bit for us to chew on as well, and definitely those master classes are things I would be really interested in, so you'll hear from me very soon on that. So I'd love to join those when they happen. But what an inspirational story, and we wish you nothing but the best, and may God continue to bless you. I'm pretty much sure that as Business Sense, we'll check in with you in just a more from today, but really love the conversation, and God bless.
Perfect. No problem. Thank you very much, and once again, thank you for the opportunity, Tabelo.
Thank you so much.
May God also bless you guys and accelerate your vision purpose of this show. I believe that there's a purpose for every platform.
Definitely.
So the education around business, I believe there will be so many young people who will one day attest to, you know, your form and say, you know what, I actually was inspired by this station to invest in my future.
Definitely. God bless you, Wade, and we'll talk.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was, of course, Wade Williams telling us a little bit about his business and what he's been through. What a lovely, lovely conversations. I enjoyed it, and I hope that you enjoyed it as well. He's really, really shown us that even as a young person, you can achieve great things. Thank you, Wade.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.